Amen. Dear Father, once again, do fill us with your Holy Spirit. And may the inner anointing guide us all so that your word could be written in our hearts, in our mind, so that our inner man may be strengthened according to do according to your word and glorify your name. May you bless us all. Amen. This is message 6 of the conference, Church in Bangkok 2023. First verses are 1 John 2, 20 and 27, 3, 24, and 4, 14. And we don't need any more messages, we will only need to sing. Sing the hymn. May we be able to sing the words of the Lord into our heart through our singing. The singing of hymns sound very good, and it's very easy. We all like to sing, and we like to hear the songs. But in our practical daily living, we need the experience. Don't just sing in the meeting. Each day at home, you need to be singing in your heart as well. You need to be singing at work. At home, when you go to sleep, you still need to be singing in your heart. That kind of singing is reality. It would remind you that the anointing dwells in you. You should not only sing, but you need to live it out. I really appreciate church in the saints in Bangkok. You've got such a choir here. Quite good. But the reality is in your daily living. If we only sing together here and everybody is happy and full of joy, yet the anointing needs to lead you in your daily living. It has to accomplish a very important work within you. I have seen many who can sing. They've been singing for 60 years. But they're not able to live it out. It's easy to sing. And they're all very happy. Look at you all. Aren't you happy? Everybody's smiling and very happy. But the anointing is not just for your singing. He dwells in us, and oftentimes he is warning you, you shouldn't touch this. You can't say what you want to say. You cannot do that thing. You should not be fighting with one another. You have to follow and obey our Lord. This is reality. Now, in that situation, you have to be able to sing within you I have the wonderful anointing, the wonderful leading within me. If you can sing in your heart, in the situation, you're not just blowing the trumpet, but it's, you're singing within your heart. And you can experience the holy anointing speaking within you. Sometimes anointing says it in very simple words. It just tells you to stop it. Pray. Do you listen? You want to fight with others. The anointing tells you, don't do it. The anointing doesn't give you a lot of doctrines. A couple of sentences is sufficient. Quiet down. Do you listen to him? Knowing how to sing does not equal to knowing how to live it out. James says we should not be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. We can also apply this verse to say you should not just be a singer and not a doer. Singing and doing are two separate things. I know that here in Thailand, you really know how to sing. I also appreciate your singing. It's quite different from Germany. When the Germans sing, they're not, in their singing, they're not as living as you are. Right? But no matter how you sing, God will not just appreciate your singing. The anointing has a very important function within us. The anointing is there to change you, to limit your flesh, so that your inner man can be strengthened, so that you will not be deceived. John says there are many antichrists. It is tempting you and misguiding you to take you away from the Lord so that you will live in yourself. Everybody has this teaching, right? We don't live it out. There are only two Bible verses. It's very easy to remember. But today I want to ask you, and I also need to ask myself, how much do we know this anointing in us? Have you listened to the voice of the anointing in you every day? This is the important thing. Not only is it so that if you have a problem, you go ask the anointing. No. No matter what you're doing, the anointing has to lead you within, from within. Besides, he's living. That is why John wrote a lot. important thing is that the God has given you the anointing in you. In the many years in the past, we all love to listen to messages, to listen to man. That's easy, right? You know, when you speak, of course, immediately I hear you. We're very used to it. The entire Christianity is like this. Just like you come to attend a conference, you also come to listen. Don't think I like to preach or give messages. I don't even know what to say. And I'm not even following the outline. It doesn't mean to say that the outline is useless or that the outline is wrong. When you speak to your wife, do you speak with an outline? When I want to speak to my wife, I need to make an outline. Is that the case? No. But how come for a conference you need an outline? Now, without an outline, you have nothing to say? Is it actually you who are speaking, or is it the Holy Spirit that is speaking in you? Paul said, You want to have proof from me who it is that is speaking. He said, it is Christ who is speaking in me. If it is Christ who is speaking in me, then it would have an effect in the listener, in the audience. And it has its power. But if it's not Christ, if it's not the Holy Spirit speaking within us, even though you may speak, it's also the word in the Bible. But there's no power in it. There's no effect. God's word is living. It is effective. It's like a two-edged sword that can pierce your heart. And it can also expose your inner condition, your thoughts, and your feelings within you. It will all be exposed. It's only useful in this way, when it is like this. But if it is only man speaking, perhaps it sounds good. Perhaps it's according to what you like to hear. Everybody wants to hear. But you have been listening to messages for so many years. Is there any change? How many years have you been listening? Is there any change in your life? Is there growth in life? Is your inner man more strengthened? This is very important. If it's man speaking, it's useless. So do not think that we like to speak. I do not like to speak. I'll let Doyon speak. No? It doesn't work. What did Isaiah say? If it's If it's our God speaking, nothing will fall to the ground and become useless. Every word of God will accomplish His will. It will not return to Him void, because in God's word there is His breath, there is the Spirit, and there's life coming out of His word. Man's word has no spirit. Perhaps it's a good word, but there's no life in it. There's the substance of the word is not there. So we need the holy anointing. We like to hear man speaking. This is my past experience. Without that man, you have nothing. Without his books, you know nothing. To the extent, you don't need the Bible anymore, you only need to read his books. Tell me, can this outline here replace the first epistle of John? No. So when you go home, you can throw the outline away. Go back into the Bible and read. And as you read, you need to fellowship with the Lord. You need to pray. It's only so that the Spirit can move in you. The Holy Spirit can move in you. The teaching of the Holy Spirit will not be in conflict with God's Word. That is why it's called the anointing. You know, here in Thailand, you have a lot of balm or ointment. Have you ever used it? Of course, everybody uses some kind of balm. If you get an insect bite right away, you put something on you, right? And if you're aching here, you put some ointment on you here, right? Did you put some ointment on today? Or oil? Yes. If your skin is dry, you'll put some lotion on you, some oil on you, right? If you're hurt, you also have to put something on you. There are all types of oils and ointments, right? What is the effect of this oil? The substance of the oil will enter through your skin. It will heal you. It is effective. If the oil is of no effect, you won't do it, right? You just throw it away. Today, did you put some oil on? You say, do the anointing just teach you? Man can only teach. But the teaching of the anointing is different. He is in you. He wants to change you. He wants to increase the Christ in you. He knows your need. He is the expert. He understands you. He knows you well. He knows what you need. Even I don't know what is inside of me. This is the function of the anointing. This is very important. But in your daily living, do you not listen to the speaking and the leading of the anointing? He speaks, yet you don't hear him. He gives you a feeling and you just quench it. I'm not going to use Ephesians. I'm going to use 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do not quench the Spirit. Of course, if you quench the Spirit, you will cause the Spirit to grieve. Why would the Spirit grieve? Because you want to quench it. First, that's why you have to first use 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right? If your child listens to you, would you be grieved? Would you be sad? If he listens to you, then you'll be fine, you'll be happy. But because he doesn't listen, then you start sighing. But if the children are obedient, why would you be worrying? If you tell your child to do something, the child tells you, why not? I want to do it. And the child's retort is even stronger, and this child will even speak louder than you. Now, if the child is even bigger, the voice is even bigger, you end up surrendering to the child. You know, the Holy Spirit within us is like a dove. Like a dove. Is a dove very fierce? No. When you come close to a dove, it'll fly away. It's very gentle. The Holy Spirit would not be screaming and shouting and scolding you. He's not like us. Oh, if a child is not obedient, you give him a spanking. When you discipline your child, even your neighbors would hear you. Such and such a person is angry, disciplining the child. This Holy Spirit is not like that. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. If it were up to me, even if I were hanging on the cross, I would still be scolding him non-stop. Even after resurrection, I'll still be scolding him. Now tell me, does the holy anointing discipline us in this way? If a brother or sister offends you, how do you feel? You can't sleep for 3 days and 3 nights. And you're just down in the grave. Why is it like this? Because you do not know the anointing. You've got the Bible. You've got your hymn book, you've read the Bible, and you also sang from your hymn book. But you still lose your temper in the same old way. Aren't we like this? We need to repent. That's why in 1 John it says, you should not say, I'm not wrong. Where is a man that has no wrong? Alone, your attitude is already wrong. When you lose your temper, you're already wrong, right? If you're not wrong, why would you lose your temper? When you lose your temper, does the spirit come out, or is it your flesh that comes out? Is your flesh right? The sinful flesh comes out of you, the flesh comes out. Take a look at yourself in the mirror. Your eyes are like fiery balls. Aren't you wrong? That is why John said, if you say you have no sin, you lie. You think the Lord would agree with you? Even if somebody else is wrong, if it's the brothers and sisters, not to mention that they are the beloved brothers and sisters, as long as they're brothers and sisters, it's good enough. Would you forgive them? Yes? That is why knowing the anointing is in the practical things. Now tell me, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, who is speaking there? In the beginning, it's the Lord Jesus speaking. In the beginning, it's the Lord speaking. In the end, it says, he who has an ear is to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Although the Lord speaking is written in your Bible, in the Word, but if he's not speaking within you, if you only understand the Bible, it's useless. It's useless if you understand so much and yet you cannot live it out. You cannot do it. Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10 talks about the new covenant. Does it say that you need many teachers? No? Do you need many teachers? That's what it said in the New Testament, right? Brother, help me out. What does it say in the New Testament? You do not need anyone to teach you. From the youngest to the oldest, you will all know me. Tell me, how are you going to know him? We need a pastor. We need man to teach us. But in the New Testament, it says, you do not need anyone to teach you. Brother Guangrong, if in the church there's nobody to teach and speak to the saints, how are they going to know? Brother Dehua, if you're not there to give a message Sunday morning, how are the brothers and sisters going to understand or know the Bible? How are we going to meet? Give me a way. Help me. It's anointing, Daniel says. But the anointing, it's hard to hear the anointing. What if you can't hear it? Many people would come to you and ask you, brother, how do you hear the anointing? It's because you're not acquainted with listening to him. You don't have a habit of listening to you from the day you were born again. Nobody told you that you have to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking in you. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. But in the New Testament, God speaks through His Son in us. May the Lord have mercy on me. I'll give you a short testimony. I serve the Lord because a man asked me to do so. It's a Holy Spirit speaking within me. We all need to learn. Don't say, oh, I'm already old, I can't learn anymore. Especially young people. No matter whether you're young or old, you all need to learn. To learn to hear the anointing in you, unless you do not believe that the anointing is in you. If you can hear His voice, if you can hear His speaking in small matters, then in bigger matters, it'll be easier for you to hear Him. If in the small matters the Holy Spirit tells you, don't do it, leave it, you don't listen to Him, you think that the Holy Spirit would speak to you in greater matters, in matters, spiritual and heavenly matters? So I hope we'll all learn beginning now, because the Lord is coming soon. There's not much time left. If you don't learn now, when are you going to learn? Are you going to learn during the millennial kingdom? It's okay, but it'll be too late. It's not that the Lord would be speaking to you at that time, but it's that the Lord would be disciplining you. If you want to learn at that time, grace is over. The age of grace is over. There's judgment. There will be spanking. There will be beating with stripes. You have to go through fire. Today, you can still repent. Confess your sins. No matter what wrongdoing it is, as long as you truly confess your sins from within, I'm willing to repent. Thank the Lord. The Father is faithful. He is righteous. He will forgive you of your sins. He will forgive you of all your sins and unrighteousness, and He'll wash you clean. This is not just forgiveness. If my shirt got dirty, the Father will say, okay, I forgive you. But it's still dirty. If you look at your shirt every day, I was naughty. I messed up my shirt. Your mother would tell you, take it off. Throw it into the laundry. after the washing, it becomes like new. Isn't that so? If Satan comes to you and says, look at you on such and such a day. Look, you got yourself dirty. He'll come and accuse you. You can tell you, no, it's not there. Look, it's clean. It's all clean. Nothing wrong with it. Get lost. On top of that, our Lord Jesus, He is speaking on our behalf before the Father. He's interceding for us. He has paid the price for all our sins. But you should not continue to sin. How not to sin? Then there's an anointing within you, helping you. The Holy Spirit is within you. So John did not just speak of the anointing. There's also chapter 3, 20, verse 24 and 4:14. How do you know? Because God has given us of His Spirit. There's a Holy Spirit within you. You will know. You're not just knowing teachings. You will know. Can I do this? Is that right? Should I do this? Is it true or is it false? Is it life or is it death? Is it heavenly or is it of the flesh, earthly? You will have the capability of discerning. Brothers and sisters, John says that life is there so we can discern what is of the devil and what is of God. What is born of God and what is of the flesh. But many Christians are totally unclear about this. They've been deceived. The devil is an expert deceiver. No one can lie as well as he does, or also as long as he can. He is a murderer. He wants to put away the life that is within us. It's not that you don't have life anymore, but that in your experience, it's death. Did I not mention it yesterday? The church in Sardis had life to begin with. If it did not have any life in the beginning, how would God say that you have a name that you are living? And actually, in the end, it's dead. I also have gone through something like this. I have seen this. In the beginning, it's very good. And in the end, it's really bad. In the beginning, it was living. In the end, it's dead. The church is the same. In the beginning, it's a lampstand. It's a golden lampstand. In the end, it became the Roman Catholic Church. Tell me, what happened? Why did it become like this? You see, there's a battle. There's a spiritual warfare. The life needs to be maintained. Even our human life. Don't just go teach at school at the university, but you need some exercise, right? It's only in this way that you can maintain your health. You need some exercise, bodily exercise. Paul did not say bodily exercise profits nothing. He told Timothy, bodily exercise profits little. It's a little bit of profit. But just don't be a sportsman. Young people, you need to watch out. Exercise is good. It's so that you remain healthy. You can do some Tai Chi. But that can only help your health. And this, for spiritually, you also need exercise. Paul said you have to exercise unto godliness. What does it mean to exercise? Unto godliness. Do you kneel down and do like this, and that means you are godly? You're pious? No? No. You need to know this anointing and have fellowship with this anointing all the time. When you read the Word of God, you need to mingle it with the faith that's in the anointing. You need to mingle the Word. When you read the Bible, you shouldn't be asking, oh, what does this mean? Oh, I don't understand this. Then you go look up in the reference book. Now, how do you know who is right and who is wrong? Are the brethren teachings right? Or is Luther's teaching right? Or is Watchman Nee's right? Whose teaching is right? You still need the anointing. No matter what you do, in the end, you need to listen to the anointing. God's word is living. I can testify to you that without the anointing, you will not be able to touch life. You not only should be able to understand, but you need to get that thing, get the substance. What we want is the living God. Our living God is the Holy Spirit indwelling you. And through God's Word, and you can mix it with your faith. When you read the Word, it's like you're talking to God, talking to Him. It's living. God is a speaking God. But today's Christianity, man has replaced the anointing. Do you dare to replace him? Do not think that I like to speak. No, I do not. Even if I speak, it's useless. After I speak, you have to ask the anointing. You have to ask the anointing, is what he is saying right, or is he speaking nonsense? How do you experience this? You still have to go before the Lord. Like the Bereans in the Acts of the Apostles. They not only heard the word of Paul, heard his speaking, but when they went home, they checked it against the scriptures to see whether Paul was saying the right thing. Do not believe so easily. Even Paul did not trust himself. He says, we do not trust in our flesh. Tell me, does Paul not have the flesh? Yes. So, did Paul ever lose his temper? He says, I'm the great apostle, and you don't even believe me? You still have to check it with the scripture? Did Paul say that, oh, I know somebody would get angry like that? That is why the anointing is very important. It's living. Besides, he uses the word teaches. We like to teach people. He says, whatever you say, okay, I understood you. Didn't you sing in your song that the anointing is going to add the substance of Christ into you? It's only this way that your person can be transformed. Who can do this? A man can only give you a message. When you go home, you just say, I understood. Even if you have the proper understanding, who can add the substance of Christ into you? Only the anointing. Actually, the anointing is just Christ Himself. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He is the anointed one. And the anointing is going to add the ointment from the anointed one into you. Why does John not just say, oh, the Holy Spirit in you? These last two verses is talking about the Spirit. What's the difference between that and the Holy Spirit and the anointing? Why did he emphasize it's the anointing? Because it's God's Spirit. It's all, everything of the Christ, his humanity, his perfect humanity, and the redemption that Christ has established, and the power of his resurrection, and his ascension, and he's seated on the throne. All these elements are added into you. Who can add this into you? Do you have the ability to do that? I don't. Only the anointing is able to do so. Have you experienced the power of his resurrection? Paul said he wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Because a lot of our problems are because there's death. When we give a message and we sing, you know, we're so vibrant, but when we go home, we all die. And we give the message is that we all have to be one, and we go home and we fight with one another. Why? Because death is reigning there. There's no power. There's no life power. That is, Paul didn't say that I believe that Christ rose from the dead. That's easy. But Paul wanted to know the power of his resurrection. Paul knew that Christ was suffering there. Everybody knew that. But Paul wanted to have part in the suffering of Christ. Paul knew that he was crucified. He wanted to experience that. He wanted to be like him, to be conformed to his death. Are you like this? Who can help you to get these treasures? It's not knowledge. It's not teachings. It's the anointing within you. So when the anointing enters into you, the anointing not only teaches you, but it also leads you into the reality. Who can lead you into the reality? So, not only sing. I'm not saying don't sing. It's good to sing. Thank the Lord. But if you can only sing, and yet you do not have the reality, our singing is empty. When you're singing, everybody is so happy and so excited. But when you go home, are you just as happy? Are you still singing when you go home? Says, in my spirit, there's the anointing. You won't be singing at home, not at all. I'm sorry. Don't get angry with me. I'm sorry. Because the anointing is too practical. That's why John added a word. The anointing is true. It's full of substance. It's not empty words. You can talk about durian, yet you don't have a durian to eat. What's the use of talking about it? Right. So, brothers and sisters, thank and praise the Lord. This hymn is really good. The hymn is good, but it's just the doctrine. The anointing is true, it's real, it's practical. If you know him, then you can experience Christ. Only if you experience Christ will there be transformation. Thank the Lord. Our time is almost up. It's useless if I speak too much. When you go home, you have to experience it for yourself. If you go home and you don't experience this, you don't need to come back again. You hear it once, and even if you hear it 1,000 times, it's useless. Go home, pray, and fellowship with the Lord, and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to experience the Lord's anointing. Open our inner eyes. You cannot see it outwardly, but it's inward. He who has an ear, it's not the outward ear that you listen with, but it's the inner ear. We have to obey him. Do not grieve him. Do not quench the spirit. It's only in this way you can love the Lord, and you can truly love the Lord Jesus. Truly so. Because you cannot love someone that you is something that you cannot experience. The more you experience the Lord, the more your love for him will grow. Yes. It's not a doctrine that you know and then you would love the Lord. No. It's only if you know him that you would love him. The more experience you have, the more your love for him will grow. Thank the Lord. There is the anointing within you. Amen. Okay. Today is the last day. We still have one more meeting. We'll continue the fellowship in the next session. Thank the Lord.